Thanks, Just. How's it, everyone? Yeah, good to see you. Just before we start, I just wanted to say that we had a lekker braai on Wednesday night with all the young adults. We had about 81 young adults there, so results hadn't been audited, but yeah, it was excellent. So young adults, give yourselves a round of applause. It's cool. Yeah. Okay, so Lee's asked us to share, and just to give you a little bit of a look into the life of the Wiesners. This is my wife, Kirst. She's... You're gorgeous, and my name's Ryan, if you haven't met me, and we've got a little son called Josh. He's about 1 year old, and he's just started walking about a week ago, so he's still in like this wobbly phase, and he's bumping his head, but yeah, he's also cool, and actually we're expecting another one. It's on the way, so yeah, how's that? Well, Kirsty is just going to share her story with us, and then I'm going to share.
Evening, everyone. So I went to a school called Brescia House, just down the road. Some of you may know it. And it's a Catholic school. So the one thing that we did every week is we went to Mass. And for me, that was just going through the motions. And I really felt it was I was right with God by going there every week. But something was great. School was really great for me. It was a real highlight. I was deputy head girl. I was good at sports. I was good at academics. I had a great group of friends. And to be honest, I was living the South African dream. I had everything going for me. I felt like I had it all together. So moving on from school was fantastic. I went to the States because one of my dreams was to become a pilot. So I jetted off to America, and I got my private pilot's license, and it was just such a phenomenal experience. Once again, I was succeeding, and I was just setting goals for myself and achieving them, and I flew a plane by myself before I drove a car, and I felt that was awesome for me to tell people. So I finished off in the States, and I came back to South Africa, and I went to university, and once again, I was just excited to conquer another chapter in my life and to succeed, you know. So what everything kind of went well for me, and I was hockey captain, and I was first year of the year, and I was a leader, and I kind of felt like I needed to be above people. I needed people to look up to me, and I look back now and I realize that in actual fact, I was really looking for acceptance from everyone around me. I had a deep insecurity, and I needed people to really approve of me. And that's why I did all these things. That's why I needed to succeed. And I just felt like I was doing the whole time. But as I was at varsity, a girl named Christy, she was a Christian girl, and she was part of campus outreach. And she started to befriend me. And one day she decided she wanted to take me to a Christian community called Melville Union Church. And I went there and I was just absolutely blown away. For the first time, I saw guitars in church and there was a band. I'd never seen that before, having grown up Catholic. And I was just amazed. So firstly, people were really worshiping. I'd never seen that before. I'd only seen people really go through the motions and go through the ritual of Mass. But when I went to Melville, they were really in a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with God. And it was eye-opening for me. So from that moment, God really started to stir in my heart, and I started to ask questions. And I sat down with Christy one day, and she shared the gospel with me. And for the first time, I realized that I didn't have to do the whole time, that Jesus had done it for me on the cross, that everything that he had done was enough, and that Kirsten could just be who she was. She didn't need the approval of people, and she didn't need to be on a pedestal. And that was just really freeing for me. And I was continuing to ask questions. And another thing that God did specifically was he really showed me that I was not perfect. I really thought I was perfect. But I wasn't. He showed me that I had flaws and I failed in many areas. And I remember going to school, to confession, because that's what we had to do. And I would lie in confession about sins because I would make up things. I hadn't murdered. I hadn't stolen. So I would just make up lies in confession. And it was just backward. But as God started stirring in my heart, he showed me that I had many things to repent of. So those were two massive things that he did in my heart. And as I was getting to making a decision for Jesus, a girl sat me down and she said, "So Kirst, where are you? Have you made your decision yet?" And I said, "Look, I'm just going to sit on the fence for a bit." And she said, "You know, Kirst, by sitting on the fence, you're choosing the devil." I was like, whoa. So that night, actually went to Christy's room and just knelt down before her and before God. And I gave my life. And I just realized that Kristen didn't have to do, that it was done for me already. So, yeah, it was just a great experience. I surrendered my life. And then Ryan fell in love with me. And the rest is history. So,
yeah, dude. Sure. Thanks, Kirst. I got a similar story. I went to Pretoria Boys High School, which I think is the best school in the world. I think we're all in agreement with that. And if you've sent your sons or if you went to other schools, we'll pray for you later. But I went to Pretoria Boys and I played SA Schools hockey. I made the under 18 side, and then I was in the World Cup under 15 squad for cricket. And it was when I was under 15, there were four captains, and I was one of the four in that squad. And the tour was to England, and it was AB and Fuff and all those guys, and I wasn't selected. And it absolutely crushed me. I think it was one of the biggest things that I had to deal with. And it was from that point that I had started just rethinking things. I remember, you know, I wasn't interested in God at all. I was chapeled out. In fact, when we went to chapel and someone or church and someone spoke about God, I kind of zoned out. You know, I hope you guys aren't doing that now. But it's funny how that happens, you know. And then the guy would say, "Amen," and you'd come back to earth, you know. And that was sort of what happened to me. Sorry, I just wanted to say one more thing. Yeah, and I remember praying when we had big cricket games. I would pray then, you know, when we played Uffies or cares, that's when we'd pray. Or when I used to bowl leg spin, I'd be like, "Please, Lord, just help me land this one." You know, and that was my sort of faith at school. And then I went to university and I said, "Look, I've done the chapel thing or whatever. Now I want to do the nightclub thing." And so I went hard after that. And a buddy and I, we used to pretend to be something different every week. You know, one week I was a pilot. The next week I was studying law. Then I was an accountant. But my best pickup line in a nightclub was to use Jesus. You know, I'd be talking to a girl and I'd say, "Look, I'm a Christian. I'm shy. Let's take it slow." And it was just, you know, I used him as a pickup line. And I remember I tried church and I tried chapel and clubs, but I'd never, ever come to Christ. And God started at university creating interest. There was a weird guy who walked onto campus. He was a missionary from America, and I had a lot of questions. You know, I got him into a room with a couple of my friends, and I started asking him, you know, I was like, "Pete, so how far can you go with a girl, you know, in the Lord's eyes?" And then I asked him, like, "How much can you drink?" And I asked him, "Can you date two girls at once?" And I just, that was a joke. You guys can laugh. I did ask him that question. I had my questions. And he was just a safe guy to talk to. And I remember him saying, "Ryan, love the Lord your God with all your heart." And I was like, "Okay, well, that's easy. Game over. Let's go out," you know. And walking down to the library, which I didn't do often, I said that in the morning service, that word "all," it just got to me. I was like, "That is impossible. No one can love the Lord your God with all your heart." So I phoned him up. I got him in, and I said, "Pete, this is impossible, but, you know, talk me through this." And he took me to a passage in Ezekiel. And this passage said, "I will give you a new heart. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And I remember having a heart of stone, a cold heart towards the Lord, a heart that when anyone spoke about Jesus, they were like repulsive, you know, they're like Bible bashers. I used to get bored and drifted, and I had that heart of stone. And I remember praying for a heart of flesh, you know, a receptive heart, a heart that would surrender, a heart that was open to hear what God had to say about my relationships and those kind of things. And so there was one night where my family, we were sitting and we were watching a movie called John Q. And it was just such a picture of where I was at. And this little boy needed a new heart. And he And it was a matter of life or death. And he couldn't afford this heart operation. And I remember him looking up to Denzel Washington, who was his dad. And he said, "Dad, do something." And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I remember just there and then, I walked up to my room. I knelt down on my bed. And I remember saying to the Lord, I was like, "Dad, do something. I need a new heart. I need you to be real for the first time in my life." And from that time, there was a real interest and a hunger for me to know the Lord. And I actually moved into like this religious phase. Some of my buddies will tell you, I condemn my hockey buddies. I looked down on my parents. I memorized scripture. I sort of just went balls to the wall, you know, and kind of just drove everyone away. And we were at Sabi, and my mom and dad sat me down because they were now worried. They're like, "Was this like part of a cult or what's cooking?" You know, and they said to me, "Ryan, what has happened to all your joy?" And I was studying through the book of Galatians at that time, which we're going to start a series in from next week. And that is the question that Paul asked this religious community, this community that had forgotten the gospel. What had happened to all your joy? And as I had studied this letter, it was a couple of months later, I was walking on Westbrook Beach. And for the first time, I came to realize that Christianity is not religion. That I didn't need to be good. That I didn't need to be moral. That I didn't need to have it all together. That I didn't need to attend church in order to be loved by God. That Christ died for something. That the cross meant something. And I began to look away not only from my sinful life, but also my good life. And look to the cross for the first time. And it was just so freeing. I mean, I've never felt that free before. And I think that was God's grace in my life. It was almost like a rose unfolding. And then I met Kirst and we got married and the rest is history. So, yeah, that's our story.